You're listening to a 9to5.cc podcast.
Hey everyone, just a quick reminder that if you're going to be making any purchases on Amazon.com, Amazon.ca, or Zazzle.com, please go to www.9to5.cc first and click the links in the sidebar or at the bottom of the page to support the site. It makes no difference to you, but it really helps us out a lot. Enjoy the show. Thanks.
Really at Oshiaga.
It's true.
We're also here.
Man, Jack White was awesome last night, or terrible.
I don't know.
So today we watched Montreal-based horror thriller,
sort of a zombie movie,
romantic falling apart thriller.
Dis. We also watched the Paris crime rampage action film Dealer, very much in the vein of Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels, if you consider that.
Guy Ritchie Styles
is absolutely a Guy Ritchie film done by Frenchmen in Paris.
I see.
Yep.
That sounds great.
Dude, it was great. Great. Capital G.
So I guess we'll talk about Dis.
Yeah, let's talk about Dis.
Okay. So Dis...
I'm going to go the plot.
The plot is basically there's a pandemic... like an ever-increasing scale of a pandemic that's going on, some sort of a virus, and then a couple that are on the outs, who doesn't really know why, it's only revealed maybe around the halfway point as to why they're on the outs, are basically locked in their apartment together because obviously the pandemic is
spreading,
and it seems to be getting worse, and there's like reports of like maybe, like it definitely increases your anger and like your brutality, maybe even makes you a cannibal. And it just seems like really bad news.
It's like classic zombie horror, but like done in a realistic sense.
It sort of seems to be that like it's kind of like a 28 Days Later virus, where it's just like a rage virus where you get like fucked.
Yep.
And they're just like, and again, it's sort of like maybe it doesn't spread fast a la World War Z. It spreads at like kind of like a normal rate where they're, you know, like okay, fucking stay indoors and like whatever. There's a number of cases and they're trying to take care of it at the hospital.
And don't freak out and just stay away from other people and you'll be fine.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's sort of the presentation of it.
Yeah.
But there's enough conflict already between these two characters that things don't go as planned and things go pretty fucking haywire.
Yep. Things get pretty rough between our heroes.
Yep.
Yeah.
Eve and Sam.
Sam.
All right.
Yeah.
So here's the main problem with Dis.
Yep.
Is... the acting and the dialogue.
Yep.
Premise-wise, pretty fun.
Yep.
Like when you think, when we talk like about like we've preached to time and time again on this podcast that like small-scale stories can like be really big winners.
Yep.
In genre film, and this is certainly a small-scale story. Like,
absolutely.
Other than a couple of like establishing shots, which I don't even think were like 100% necessary at the beginning.
You mean the one in the classroom?
The one in the classroom and the one where she gets the job or whatever else like that.
Yeah.
Like, those weren't even fully necessary. The entire thing takes place in their apartment.
Yep.
Which is like kind of cool, and it's also sort of a cool look at the whole outbreak process because it's a sort of like
it's an outbreak done from a single.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's it. You just hold up inside, and you kind of have these news reports of the fact that it is getting worse, and then that's about it. But the dialogue is not amazing, and it's not delivered very well. And I feel so very bad for the, I guess the. It was the same writer-director and whatever else like that. So it was like, because like, I was like, the direction was okay.
Yep.
Maude Michaud, the direction was all right.
Yep.
But I mean, she also wrote those words. Maybe it's a translation thing? Maybe? I don't want to make any suppositions.
Yeah.
But it's just sort of like, there's like the dialogue, almost everything that came out of people's mouths seemed like weird, like forced or like over-rehearsed. Or
it sounded like dialogue, you know? I don't think it was like bad per se. It was just, it all sounded like dialogue as opposed to sounding like something people would say.
Yeah,
like you could, you know, it felt like you're not necessarily like brought into this moment. You feel like you're watching a scene.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Which really, really, in my opinion, hurts this film.
Sure did.
It's so, like there's,
It's a real shame because the whole premise I thought was great.
Yeah.
When I'm not going to say what it is, but like the reveal about the breakdown between the two main characters is like spectacular.
Yeah.
That could like it could have been like an A+ horror thriller.
It gets to extreme points where you're like, whoa.
Yeah. Like what the fuck?
You're
dude?
Like,
yeah,
holy like, shit! This is fucking so much worse. And it's like it doesn't pull punches in terms of like. Where it's going with extremities,
which was delightful.
Yeah, and it even does okay for a little, you know, like low budget practical effects with looking all right.
Yep,
it just falls short.
Yep,
I'm really like
it was close.
It was really, really, really close.
Yep,
I feel so bad.
So we'll say more about that after the spoilers.
Yeah, yeah,
well, I want to talk about the gritty parts of that because that was like the film at its best was it when it was letting the gritty parts out and definitely like to somebody who has not seen the film, it's going to wreck it all if we say what it is.
Yeah, yeah,
but like what would be the recommendation for this? It's like a Netflix night. You got nothing
else.
Exactly.
I would say Netflix night and the other. This is a terrible recommendation. And
I'm going to do it anyway.
I'm going to do it anyway. Is if you are a student filmmaker, like watch it. To see what it does right and what it does wrong.
Right, because the right stuff that it does is really good, and the wrong stuff that it does is pretty wrong.
Exactly, that's it. So it's like, if you are interested in film, this is like kind of a good like study in, you can do some fucking pretty cool horror stuff, and you can have a fucking good premise, but also maybe work on your dialogue a little bit and do stuff like that. So it's like, I'd also recommend it to film students who are interested in making genre films.
Sure.
For that reason. Because it does have successes, but it also has failures.
So let's talk about a dealer.
Dealer.
So if I said it was...
I'm already sold. Guy Ritchie in France.
If I said it was a Guy Ritchie film in France, I could say literally nothing else, and you would know exactly what the movie that you were going to see, and you would know that you would clap your hands with delight at the intense action and guns and dialogue and...
I haven't seen this film, drugs but I'm going to imagine that there's a drug dealer who's super cool, who gets into trouble with other gangsters who are super cool.
Yep.
People are shot super cool.
That happens.
Like a pretty good soundtrack.
Yes.
There
okay.
we go.
So here's the actual plot of the film. Dan, who is a small-time drug dealer... Yep. Has a friend who happens to be getting into a really crazy party, and he's like, look, one time only, I'm going to pay you street value for a kilo of coke. Mm-hmm. It's just I need it in 3 hours, and I will give you – so it's like 80,000 bucks for this one little deal.
Yeah,
and he can buy like that much coke for – I think it was like 40,000 euro or something. Sorry, it was 80,000 euro.
Yeah.
So he's like, I don't normally deal with coke because I don't like dealing with coke heads, but this fucking is so much money, I have to do it. And he's planning –
so he's like making like 10 times profit easily, like –
No, he's making 40K.
Oh, okay.
Right, but for an afternoon's work, 40,000 euros ain't so bad.
Right.
So he, like, against his better instincts, he goes to do it with his best friend. They pick up the kilo of coke from the dealer, and the dealer's like, all right, I'll front it to you, but you know you're going to be in a lot of trouble if this goes bad. And, like, the dealer who fronts him the coke is from this, like, really cool-looking, spooky Haitian gang.
Mm-hmm.
Haitian or probably African at that point. I don't know. But whatever. It's a whole bunch of...
You're saying
like,
Haitian because it's Montreal. It's...
Yeah.
and that's where our cool French black people come
right.
from.
Anyway, so he gets it. Of course, the coke disappears. We don't know if it's his prostitute girlfriend or if it's one of her Johns or if it's whatever. He has to track them down. He can't get the coke, and then it puts up a cool little counter of how much money he has in the bottom right-hand corner of the screen, like a video game, and he gets into hijinks trying to like rack up money on the counter.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, things go haywire. There are gypsies. The gypsies had a moment or two of dialogue that I swear to God was lifted straight out of Snatch. Like, it was great. I don't really have to say anything else.
Seems like a lot of fun. Yep. I mean, also seems exactly like Lock, Stock, where they borrow money from the bad people and then lost the money.
The thing that this movie does differently and perhaps even better is Lock, Stock has a bit – and Snatch, right? They both have a bit of a cartoony element to them where they're like zany in like the fun kind of way.
Yeah.
Well, this film goes – instead of being zany and fun, it goes a little bit dark and gritty. So it still maintains that like high energy, obviously, like amped
like,
up story.
So a little bit like – did you see Rock and Roller?
No.
Rock and Roller was another Guy Ritchie film where it's a lot more like dark and gritty.
Okay.
like, still, so, but like keeps his Guy Ritchie aesthetic, but like by being a lot more not playing for laughs.
Okay. Well, I mean, there's definitely still stuff in this as laughs. Like, don't get me wrong. This
is
super funny and fun, but it's definitely darker than Snatch.
Mm-hmm.
But and also probably shot for $10,000. But it looks fantastic. The dialogue is impeccable. It's aggressive and fun and. I cannot recommend this enough. This could go in theaters as a Guy Ritchie film. The only thing that would stop it is that it's in French. And when people are speaking in French extremely quickly with like a swear word every second word and it's all Parisian slang and whatever, like I had trouble reading the subtitles in some points. It zipped by so fast. Mm. Like, whatever. So, like, I listened to it in French, so it wasn't a problem. But like, if you're just reading the subtitles, you're going to get lost.
Okay. So, yeah. Like, kind of if you've watched, like, B-13 or... what's that other one? Yamakasi?
Oh, Yamazaki. Yeah, those were good.
Yeah. The Luc Besson Parker movies.
Yeah.
Yeah, with the same thing, like the banlieue slangs and whatever.
Zipping right by. But, this was a wonderful film, and I really hope it gets some more recognition and release, because it could go on the big screen and could do very well.
Do it, France.
I hope so. So let's spoil the movies.
These are the spoilers.
Let us spoil Dealer first.
Okay.
People get shot. And he runs around and steals a whole bunch of stuff. There's literally nothing to spoil.
My one question about it, and I guess this is obviously like a pretty big spoiler.
Okay.
I mean, you've thrown around Guy Ritchie a ton.
Yes.
Is that like one of the staples of Guy Ritchie films is that usually the heroes pretty much get out of it at the end.
Okay, he gets out of it at the end.
Okay,
but he has fucked over everything he's ever done in Paris, lost all of the money, lost his wife, and he makes it out with just his daughter.
Yeah, but I mean, like, but that's kind of the shit. That's how
Guy Ritchie films always end. Yeah,
the heroes are pretty much way fucking worse off than they started, but they're usually nothing. Like they usually get out with their lives,
like,
and whatever.
He had to beat up like some of his close friends and steal like $2,000 off of them. And it'd be like if I beat you up for your, like, TV. You know, you'd be like, really, dude? You know, like, it was like, there was, like, sad shit like that. And he was like, I really like those guys, but I can't. I'm dead if, like, I'm dead and my daughter's dead if I don't do this, you know? Yeah,
got so, it. So spoiled this?
Yeah, let's spoil this.
Okay, so it's revealed to us, and this is some of the stuff that gets done, like, very, very right. When we talk about things that are done right. It takes a while for this reveal to come out. You're kind of trying to piece it together. What's wrong with the couple?
What happened? Clearly, they're at odds. Yeah. Where did this come from?
Exactly. And you're like, is it a rape? Is it whatever else like that? Then it's revealed that she's pregnant. And then you're like, oh, is it a miscarriage? And stuff like that. And then it's revealed, no, it's not a miscarriage. She coat hanger aborts her baby because she's not ready to have a baby.
Yep.
And lies about it and tells him that it's a miscarriage.
And their neighbor comes in and finds her when she's screaming in pain after having coat hanger aborted the baby herself.
And he's like, I'm going to fucking tell the guy. And you're like, no, you won't, because if you do...
I'm going to say you raped me.
You raped me, and that's how the abortion happened.
Right. Like, and then she keeps the abortion in a jar.
She keeps the aborto fetus. I call him aborto.
Yeah.
And, like, so, like, shit like that, you're like, what the fuck is going on? Same thing, too, with, and then the guy decides that he's, like... And it's not even clear at any given point as to whether or not either of these two people are infected.
That I think, was my favorite part of the entire film, was that the virus makes you go crazy and aggressive. Both of the characters act crazy and aggressive. We don't know if they're infected or if they're just fucking nuts.
Well, yeah, like, there's fucking, you know... There's some actual reasons to go fucking nuts in this scenario.
Yeah,
like,
absolutely.
Like you would kind of have a horror film... If these characters were just, like, locked in a cabin for any reason.
Yeah, yeah.
The infection is just kind of like a neat little side thing, almost. Like, the infection is like a side story that has you constantly guessing, are they infected, are they not infected?
Yeah.
Which is, like, some very, very cool...
Again, the film at its best is that.
Yeah.
And it's just unfortunate in the build-up to setting that up, you're, like, taken out of...
There's some other things that kind of, like, I felt like were kind of sort of failures.
Okay.
Were the weird... clues that the guy had that didn't make any fucking sense.
What do you mean the
weird
clues?
Like, where did they come from? Where did that, like, where did the Morse code clue in his little book come from?
Oh, right.
Who knows?
Yeah, there was him being nutto.
Now he's like, I'm fucking quoting Bible scripture, even though my character hasn't really
been religious before.
Prior to this. So, there is a little bit unhinged. That could have been a little bit tighter also.
Sure, sure.
But yeah, exactly. So, you did good things, Dis. You just missed the mark.
Yep. What do we got? You know what? The next up is going to come 4 days from now, so I don't even know what we're going to talk about
next. I feel there's a strong possibility that Wolf Cop will be in there.
Yep. I might see the fake or Obsessions. Not really sure which one.
And there might be Bros Before Hoes.
Oh,
yeah.
It's
going to
probably
find its way in there. And at some point, Summer of Blood is going to be showing up. Those are movies that are on our radar right now.
Yep. Yep. Well,
decide where you're not going to be watching The Green Inferno, just like we didn't watch Guardians of the Galaxy, because those movies we're probably going to see in theaters later. And
absolutely.
Pages more for indie films.
We love you, indie films.
Yay!
Hey,
Hey guys, it's me again. Just a quick reminder, 9to5.cc is a fan-made, fan-supported website. That means we don't have any sort of an advertising budget. The only way we really have to get our name out there is by our fans sharing us, liking us, and supporting us. So if you enjoy what we're doing, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. We're there. Tell your friends that this podcast is happening, then it's a lot of fun. Also, if you like what we're doing, we do have a podcast for the rest of the year, John and I, called 9to5 Entertainment System that we do with the other founders of the sites, Scott and Sophie, and we also have another podcast that we do through the rest of the year called Go Plug Yourself for myself and Walter J. Ling, talk to people that have interesting stuff coming up in Montreal. So once again, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, we're on both of them. If you see us at the festival, come say hey, and keep listening and keep enjoying the show. We're going to try to keep having episodes pretty much on a daily basis. Fantasia's been so great so far, so yeah, I'm done. Here we go. Thanks for listening.
9to5.cc. We're not working. Why should you? Thanks for listening.